Interviews with Haunting Gurus.
Alright, D-Minions, I've got Jason Bestman, a.k.a. Jason Attic from the Devil's Attic in Louisville, Kentucky. Gotta say Louisville,
right.
Correct? You can't say Louisville, Kentucky, because then you just get slapped by the people from Louisville. They don't like that.
That's right. We know you're not from here if you say Louisville. There's a EW in the middle, Louisville.
Louisville.
That's right.
You born and bred there or what?
No, I actually moved here about 7 years ago. I'm from Tennessee, Knoxville, Tennessee. Moved around a little bit here and there and finally landed here in Louisville.
You landed there in Louisville. The haunt is in Louisville. How far is it from your home?
It's about 32 minutes, to be exact. Not that I've driven it very often, but downtown Louisville, corner of 7th and Hill Street, right in the heart of Old Louisville, Kentucky.
Old Louisville, Kentucky. What's the address?
647 West Hill Street.
Just gotta get that in there.
Yeah, so, hell yeah.
Get there if you can. I've heard some phenomenal things. Veister was telling me, I think he stopped in and checked out your haunt. I think he irritated you for a while, probably bugging you with questions and whatnot. Do you remember Eric Veister? Did he stop in there and was he chewing your ear off down there?
Oh, I did, totally. He came through. He was very excited. He really liked kind of the old school approach to the haunt, a lot of classic horror movies from back in the day, and we had a lot of talk, and he was a great guy. We had a good time.
Yeah, no, he's a good dude. He's very easily excitable.
Definitely. Yeah.
Especially when it comes to the classic horror stuff. This is only your second, your third year. It's your third year.
That's correct. Second year in our location, our new location, but third year total, yes.
I'm sorry, yeah, and I should clarify, as a pro haunter. Now, you actually, before you were pro haunter, you said that you were a home haunter originally and went from a home haunter to the JCs?
That's correct, right. Well, the JCs, I was a member of the JCs in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and so they would do haunts from time to time. Paced more towards the younger kiddie crowd, and that's kind of where I got the bug, wanting to open my own haunt.
So you basically learned how to crawl as a home haunter, learned how to walk as a JC's haunter, and now you're in full sprint.
That's right. Yeah.
On your mark, set, go. You're off. It's exciting to hear people who go from the home haunt and make their way into the prom haunt. I have a friend who had just done that recently. I haven't caught up with him to find out how good his year was. I don't expect that he made money this year, but I hope that I went to his haunt. It was great first year, and I know that there's growing pains that are involved with getting up and running and. It's not an easy thing to transition. Did you find it was a really hard transition going from, from that, I guess, let's say JC's into a pro arena? Because JC's is more of like a non-profit, right? It's a non-for-profit, and then they're just trying to raise money.
It's a different level because, JC's, as far as expectations of a pro honor goes, it goes up quite a bit from your customer standpoint.
What's your first memory of Halloween or getting into haunting? Like, can you think that far back and go, like, this was like a pivotal point for you to get the sickness, the disease of doing this?
I remember, my brother and I making, toilet paper ghosts out of, toilet paper, then running thread around them and putting them out in the front door and looping them over trees and, pulling them up and down as kids came in. I mean, very, very young age. So I kind of got the bug there and went with it from there on, and based a lot of the stuff off, classic horror movies I saw, as a teenager and, the Freddy days and back as, far as the Texas Chainsaw and things like that.
How big was your home haunt?
Well, it was more, mine was more decoration based. I mean, it took me a couple weeks to get it up. I couldn't tell you how many bins of stuff that I've made out of PVC pipe and great stuff. And
you went from leasing a space, and now you bought your own building, I think, last year. So now you're in your own location. So you started off, in a strip mall?
Right, right. We were in about a 4,500 square foot strip mall location, and then we went to a 15,000 square foot warehouse, which we had to do a lot of renovation. We had to, you know, put new, all new electric in it, new plumbing, a new roof. I mean, all this, you know, update the sprinkler system for code. So there was quite a bit before we could even move in. We worked off generators for 3 months with no electric down there. Myself and my construction manager, Matt Jackson, as well as a lot of the other crew would come down and, you know, we'd spend our Saturdays and nights down there getting this thing renovated, ready to move in. So,
well, it's
quite a work in progress.
It's a whole different vibe when you're going from a strip mall to a warehouse. I mean, you have.
I'm sure
the warehouse has such a built-in already like atmosphere and vibe about it. You come in, the facade's already there. You walk, you're like, holy shit, this is, you know, it's not like a strip. Well, you pull in a strip mall and you got like P.F. Chang's next door, or, you know, like the dollar store.
We had Dollar General and a Little Caesars next door.
It's like kind of hard to build in, you know, to kind of put people in that mode walking through the door when they're like, hey, can I grab a slice before, you know, while I'm waiting in line? And,
you know. Yeah, no, we, you know, the warehouse was built in 1914, it's almost 100 years old, so it definitely has a very, very ominous look just walking up to it. It's pretty creepy looking.
You have roughly about 30, 35 actors in your haunt?
There's 38 total.
38
and
total.
Then 32, and then we have four managers. We have an actor manager, a costuming and makeup manager. She has an assistant. And then we have a construction manager and a marketing manager, and then myself.
Is your haunt all one level, or is it multiple levels? Like
it's one level. It's one level. It's in an old printing warehouse. It was built in 1914, 15,000 square feet, of which 10,000 is what we use. It's basically a story and a half, and we use the main level. So it's about 10,000 square foot of haunt. We've got about 19 scenes in there. And, you know, they range from anything from original classic horror monsters, vampires, werewolves, Frankenstein, to, you know, The Exorcist we have. And then we added the Sleepy Hollow scene this year and some obscure horror movies. Pumpkinhead was one of my favorites from the 80s. So we did a whole scene based on that and had a custom costume built for it this year. And we try to do things that aren't, you know, Jason or Freddy. I mean, Hellraiser is probably as close to mainstream horror that we do.
Instead of different rooms, you're kind of going into different scenes. You're entering almost like a different world each, and you're kind of making your way through.
Right, right. There's a there's transition from scene to scene with hallways and different things. And, you know, of course, we have the devil, as in the Devil's Attic, obviously, is your host, and he has his own layer that you enter, and he kind of tells you what you're going to be seeing, collection of evil souls, whether it be, Samara from The Ring or some gothic vampires, or no sparkly vampires definitely in this haunt, but those get eaten alive.
Good man.
You know, we have a little bit of everything, and like I said, we have a great 13 ghost scene, which you don't see done very often, with one of our icons, which is our Angry Princess, who got Actress of the Year Award through Ohio Valley Haunts. We've got a couple other folks that received awards from the Exorcist scene. We got another Actress of the Year through one of our other reviewers, Scare Factor. Slowly but surely making some waves, but it's always a work in progress.
Give me a kind of a breakdown or a description of one of your favorite scenes in your haunt.
This year was probably the Pumpkinhead scene was probably my favorite. And, you know, if you check us out on thedevilsattic.com or go to our Facebook page, you can see some of the pictures of we recreated the Witch's Cabin from the Pumpkinhead movie.
Oh, nice.
And the detail is pretty incredible. When I do these scenes and design these scenes, because I do most of the lighting. Actually, I do all the lighting. Got another guy that helps me. We build the panels, and so I do most of the detail work myself. I try to make them as detailed and accurate as possible from the movie. And this scene is really cool. It's just, we've got a fireplace in there with, you know, a bubbling cauldron and, all the different potions on the wall and and animal heads, you know, everywhere. It's just a really cool scene.
Is Pumpkinhead a costume, or is that a static or animatronic creature, or what is it?
Most of our, you know, our haunt is mostly actor driven. So most scenes have anywhere from 2 to 4 actors in it. So we have the witch, who is our distraction for the scene. You know, speaks in a good Baton Rouge, backwoods Louisiana accent, kind of welcomes you to her cabin, and then, you know, we have a sound cue and a strobe light that's all on remote that she cues, and then we have a full body costume that I had custom made. That's a pumpkin head with, you know, the monster shoes, so it adds height. This guy, this poor guy that played this role this year, it's a full zip up, you know, the Lycra costume with latex and foam overlay on it, completely all 100%. You know, he's got hands and feet he adds on and a head, but his whole body is in one suit. And he's the scare. You know, he comes out and terrorizes you as you walk through, so... It's just a pretty cool visual, and it's something that I've never seen done, and it always gets, you know, gets people whether they know Pumpkinhead or not. I mean, I've heard it called the Swamp Monster or whatever else, but it always scares the hell out of them.
Doesn't matter, that kind of character. I have a prop in my yard that I built. I call him Gordy, and he's a pumpkin-headed creature-looking thing. And yeah, I just love that concept of something that comes from the earth that, you know, is evil. It's a monster, but it came from the earth. It wasn't created. It was more organic, I guess. Yeah, I have this. I have another one. I call it Cornholio, and he's a corn a cornstalk who kind of is a cornstalk creature that came to life. You know, so I love that pumpkin head kind of creature. That to me is just perfect. Give me another scene in the haunt that you really love.
Say our vampire scene was probably my favorite. As well as our Frankenstein scene, which we had last year. Just this year, you know, the vampire scene we developed, is all based on a kind of a gothic-y vampire area. And I have two vampires that work through. I have a female vampire and a male vampire, and they completely play off of each other. The male vampire has a music background, so he has all these rhymes he comes at you with. And then the female vampire, you know, it's a mausoleum-type scene. A lot of detail, high detail. Of course, you got your traditional coffins in the area, and it's almost set. I would compare it to like a Shakespearean type theme of when he comes out and does his lines. That's the way I designed it. That's the way the lighting is. All of our lighting is very theatrical. We use all LED lights, so we can highlight props. We can highlight areas where we want people to speak and deliver dialogue. And, you know, he acts as a distraction for the scene. And she actually comes, there's a static sculpture on one wall, and then she is dressed to look like that static sculpture on another wall. So she looks fake. So he provides the distraction while she pops off the wall and gets the scare. But those two continually sandwich our guests together and basically torture them.
Throughout your haunt, do you have in each scene a fair amount of dialogue? So it's not just they walk into a scene and somebody jumps out and goes, ah, or it's not just a lot of boo scares. They walk in and someone's running dialogue, and they're kind of talking about whatever the hell it is, and then they're creating that distraction and that sleight of hand where people are looking, paying attention at that individual, and then the scare actors can come out from the sides and the corners and all that. Is that kind of...
That's correct. And then if we do use a pneumatic, which I have a couple pneumatics in the haunt, those are distraction pieces, not a focal point. And that's one thing that always irritated me when they'll go into their haunts is they'll stick a pneumatic or something in the middle of the room, and that's the focal point. Well, we use that as a distraction piece. I was a magician for many years, and in fact, that's what I helped pay for my college education. So I think part of that is kind of ingrained in my brain when I design these scenes is, you know, you got to have a distraction, you know, to get a complete good scare, and you got to interact with them. You can't just do a boo or, you know, it's funny because I'll go through and I'll be like, you know, a lot of the actors, some of the actors will get kind of lazy, like halfway through the season, they'll be screaming at people like, get out, or, they just scream. And I pull them aside. I said, we're not like the other haunted houses. This is a theatrical production. That's what we do here. I expect you to be involved with our customers, our guests that come through. And you can't get their attention by, you can get a brief amount of attention doing that. But until you engage them in dialogue, sniffing them or licking them or whatever you want to do, along with your full-blown dialogue of the story of the scene or this is why you're here, then you don't get the full scare.
Do you give each actor a short script? I mean, if they're the ones running the dialogue, do you give them sort of a base script?
Well, it depends on each scene, and it depends on the capabilities of the actor or the actress. Some of them require a lot more coaching, where you do have to give them specific, this is what I need you to say. Okay, Pinhead, you need to recite these lines because this is your job in this scene. Whereas some of the other guys, like our Frankenstein character, is extremely talented, and he's able to adapt to any situation, whether the people are walking fast, walking slow, and he's able to change up his dialogue. So it really depends on the scene, the dynamics of the scene. It's always different. But as a fundamental base, we do give them kind of a, this is what we want in a roundabout way, but we do let them have some, creative freedom with it.
Because ultimately you want them to be kind of natural in their character.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You don't want them to be too forced. And have you done a fair amount of haunt acting that you draw from to help coach these guys, or?
I pull from different areas, yeah. I mean, I studied theater in college time, and like I said, having been a magician and interacted on a very sporadic point when you're on stage dealing with kids or adults, you never know what they're going to do. So you have to have the ability to be do improv very quickly, but at the same time, there's a lot of script involved when you're doing a show. This is basically the same lines and jokes that I use, but I have to be able to adapt to them. Now, I do have an actor manager he's been in the haunt industry about 13 or 14 years. Makeup artist has been in the industry about 17 years. So I have a lot of in-house talent, and we've done that a lot the last year and year before. So we're able to pull a lot of the talent that's in there in-house and say, hey, can you work with this guy? A girl, try to give them some ideas because, we talked beforehand and kind of what I'd like to see as far as the end product goes. And we just all work together to kind of get the job done, pull off each other's talents.
So where did you get these seasoned veterans from? Were they from other haunts in the area and they left and they came to work for you, or how did you?
It's a little bit of a mixture of both. Our makeup artist, Izzy Jones, she's worked for USS Nightmare. She's worked for Haunted Hotel, some of these other names, Industrial Nightmare. I don't know if you know any of these folks, but local market-wise. She's kind of worked at different places and had kind of gone into retirement from the industry and met me 3 years ago, actually through Craigslist of all places. And I think it was a matter of, she also worked at Netherworld too, which is one of the meccas for haunts, and she saw, I think she kind of saw some of the same qualities that Ben has at Netherworld and me, the fact that I'm just very hands-on, just the passion behind it, and, I love to dress up. I mean, I throw on costumes here and there during the season and just love to scare the hell out of people. And so she kind of came on board and has been with me ever since. My other guy, Todd Merriman, who's our actor manager, he worked out in Austin, Texas, at a couple haunts out there, and he kind of came on and has really kind of grown his role. He's the devil. He plays the devil. And he's been, he's played the same character, obviously, for 3 years now. But he manages the actors. He's got a lot of theater background. He's actually a comedian, a full-time comedian for his full-time job. So, obviously, dealing with improv and dealing with hecklers and things like that, that helps out. And, we've got a couple other folks there, manager-wise. But as far as dealing with developing people, those folks are the ones that that really work well. Well, we work well together, so.
I mean, this looks like there's quite a few haunts in your area. In
Louisville.
You have a lot of competition, so you've got to separate yourself from the other people, which it sounds like you're doing based on your layout. Is it pretty different what you're doing based on what they're doing? I mean, is it a pretty cut and dry, like you're very different from everybody else?
Yeah, I think, you know, I would like to think that, and that, you know, looking at some of the folks that have come through within the industry, the reviewers, I really think, you know, like I said, as I've always said, it's a work in progress, and I think you see a lot of folks get into this industry for one, you know, a lot of folks get into it for either, you know, financial reasons. They think there's a financial benefit to it, and they don't have a true passion behind it, you know, and I think that sets us apart because, you know, as far as kind of the bar I set within the haunt is we're very meticulous in what we do. We try to provide a theatrical show, which a lot of folks where we're at, I don't know if they do that. And from what I've seen, it's not as scripted or not as interactive as what we do. I will say our challenge we had first year was obviously we were fairly short on, and we always left the customers wanting more. They always wanted to see more. So we added about a third our second year, actually more closer to almost we doubled the size of it the second year, and then last year we added another third. So we're continually add on, and that's a challenge because when you set up a haunt that doesn't have, you know, tons of hallways or black areas or things like that, when you put people into a theatrical set, you're in the middle of a set, you can only get them for X amount of time. So time has been a challenge. We're running about 20, 25 minutes, which is fairly standard for our area. So I think we're finally there as far as addressing a time issue. But that was a little bit of a challenge.
Do you do groups? So you have somebody who would take a group through? Or do you just, you know, you open up, you let the group through, and they just go through on their own?
Yeah, it's a self-guided tour. There's usually no more than six in a group. We're pretty stringent on that, even when we get busy. Max will do eight, no more than eight. The way that each room is designed is to give six and eight people, because there's nothing worse than going through a haunt. If you're in the back of the line, you don't see anything. Everything's already done by the time you get in the room. And so that's the way we designed it. Was really for that amount of people, and we're pretty stringent on that as far as you know, to keep the quality of the show up there.
Well, how much time do you wait before you send the next group through?
Well, it's a pretty well-oiled machine. We have three in-house security guys, and we have an off-duty police officer that works the front. So we're all mic'd up. Everybody's all mic'd up, including makeup, tickets, front door. We usually queue off of one of our scenes, which is our werewolf scene. We have a big cage, and there's a werewolf in it, and we can hear him from the front door. So we usually queue off him, which is probably 2 to 3 minutes.
Once you hear the werewolf going crazy, you're like, okay, we can let the next group through, and then just start them through.
Pretty much, yeah. And then we've got a security guy who's like, if we don't hear from him first, he's usually our last minute queue. We've got a couple different ways we work the haunt depending on how big the line is. You know, come 9 o'clock and we've got 150 people in line, 200 people in line, we got to run it a little different than what we do before, you know, from 8 to 9. So that's it's all variable, and those are things we had to learn. I mean, nobody really told me that, or, you know, each haunt's different in how you work it. So that's one thing we had to develop. We became really good at this year, so we could, you know, maximize the amount of folks that come through, but also give them a good quality show.
You have Q-Line Entertainment out front?
We do. We have a couple actors out there. Warlock, which he's got his own Facebook page, Warlock von Killmeister, and then we have a Scarecrow, who's a static guy who kind of pops off. And then almost every weekend we had the Ghostbusters out one weekend, we had live bands one weekend, we had Louisville Paranormal Activity Society out showing videos of, you know, real stuff that they've, you know, they've seen. We also sponsored one of the local racetracks, the Sports Drum Speedway. They were one of our sponsors, so we had a couple drivers out that had logos on our cars from the Devil's Attic. We always had something usually every Friday and Saturday night going on out in front, just to kind of occupy people and keep them interested.
Do you sell any other, like, merchandise or anything out front to try to bring in an extra couple of bucks? Any, like, food, concessions, anything like that?
Yeah, I've got a guy that I bring in. He's a gourmet hot dogger, I call him, hot dog guy. But he provides what he came up with this year is we had the devil dog. He sold only on Saturday nights.
I love like play on words and bad puns and stuff like that. So I always appreciate that.
It was great, dog. Man. They went over like crazy. It's basically a hot dog wrapped in bacon. With he had this homemade, you know, ranch chipotle.
Well, bacon makes everything better. Everything is better with bacon.
But bacon and jalapenos. I mean, he sold the hell out of them. So we did the devil dogs on Saturday. We sold T-shirts and glow necklaces and things like that. And, you know, we sold a lot of T-shirts, as always. Those things go quick. And I use more of the glow necklaces. We have very, very few children come through the haunt because it's definitely an adult-oriented haunt. But anytime we got a scared kid, I always throw a glow necklace on them, and the monsters wouldn't mess with them. So when I say young kid, I mean a young kid. So
yeah. What is the overall story? Or your, I don't know, when they walk in, they meet Beelzebub there. He probably tells them the story of what. Mm-hmm. So just give me the quick and dirty version. Yeah, the quick and dirty version. Yeah.
The quick and dirty version is basically this is his attic, the devil's attic, where he stored all the evil souls, and they only get to get unleashed once a year to bring hell upon Louisville, and that's pretty much the story. So that's where we get all of our, you know, horror based monsters as well as our original monsters we develop. They're kind of all stored up in this attic, which is an old rickety old warehouse. It's just scary as hell walking up to it in its own. And once you get inside, it's even more scary. And that's kind of what we roll with.
What are you doing for 2013?
This next year, I took about 3 weeks off mentally. And I had to. And I've already got everything. The wheels are turning again. So I've got about three scenes I'm pondering on redoing completely. It's our Vanicat from Vanicat scene from House on Haunted Hill. It's three rooms, so it's a pretty lengthy area. And I'm thinking about redoing that whole area, which is obviously in secrecy on what we're going to do. But we may redo those three rooms. We all started. We've got several costumes we're going to upgrade. I've got a bunch of props that we're going to add. So we're going to have a lot of new stuff coming in this next year. But we've expanded the last 2 years substantially. So this year I want to either redo some existing scenes and or, which we're already doing. I've already bought a couple of new props anyways, and some new silicone masks and stuff, some new characters we're going to add for next year. So we'll have some new stuff, definitely.
Now, since your haunt is based on scenes from mostly classic horror movies, are you a huge horror buff? Are you one of those junkies who watches all the classic movies all the way up to the current?
Yeah, definitely. Well, current, you can't say a whole lot. There's not too many great current ones.
No.
They come along once in a while, but, definitely. I mean, I'd say my DVD collection is probably 60% horror movies.
40% porno? No, I'm just kidding.
monster porno. Just as long as it's monster porno.
Just as long as it's, you know, the Triple X Files or, you know, whatever the other stuff. Anyway, so Jason, so if people want to find you on the social media, they want to check out pics, give them all the rundown. Where do they find you? Like, you have a Facebook page. Where do they find, what's your website, URL, and YouTube and all that stuff?
Well, it's all on one spot, thedevilsattic.com with no apostrophe. If you go to our website, you can click on our gallery. It'll take you right to our Facebook page. You can also find us on Facebook at The Devil's Attic. All of our videos are pasted on Facebook as well as our website. And we have a live feed there that keeps everything updated that feeds off of Twitter and Facebook and everything else. So it's all on one spot. Go to thedevilsattic.com.
Beautiful. Hey, Jason, thanks. It was fantastic talking to you. A lot of fun. Have a great 2013, and we'll catch you around the net.
I appreciate you having us on. Thank you very much.
Scream House.